What's up, Rod Church? Good to see everybody. Hey, Merry Christmas. Yeah, if someone hasn't told you that yet, Merry Christmas is officially started. Some of you started early, that's okay. Some of y'all started like in April, but it's okay. You live for this time. It's good to be with you. If you're just joining us right now, you're at one of our locations. My name is Travis, and I'm one of the pastors that serves on our leadership team here. And I'm excited today. We're kicking off a brand new series. I'm going to tell you about that in just a moment. Before we do, I want to shout down and help me celebrate Pastor Ryan, Pastor Kelsey at our City Heights campus, your whole staff. They're celebrating 9 years of ministry. Their 9-year anniversary today as a campus. Love y'all. Well done, good and faithful house of God. 9-year anniversary. Don't leave whatever campus you're at, but I hear they do a bake-off, okay? You have to stay throughout the whole message before you leave to go to the bake-off. But that's what I heard. They do a bake-off. We are in a new series today. It's called A Season of Heavenly Peace. I think that's right on time. Anybody? Just man, I could use some of that in my life. Because if you're not careful, the Christmas crush will just get you. You're going to be overwhelmed by what's happening around you. And all that the holidays really do is they highlight whatever you're going through. And so if it's been a really, really great year and someone just proposed to you, like, oh, this is the best. Oh, my gosh. It's the best time ever. It's a great time. But if you just lost a loved one, or you just lost a job, or you're going through a season or bout of depression, the holidays just make it even worse. So if you're not careful, you can get mowed over by all of that and the shopping and the traffic and the extra holidays. I like to call it the Christmas crush. And so I think a season of heavenly peace is right on time. And the series is inspired by the world's most recorded Christmas song ever. Not Mariah Carey. Silent Night. Silent Night. Mariah Carey is the most sung. I think it's the most played. Silent Night, the most recorded. And so each week over the next 4 weeks, we're going to take a line from the first part of that song. So today is Silent Night. Next week is Holy Night. Week after that is All Is Calm. And then week 4 is All Is Bright. There you go. You got it. And so today we're starting with Silent Night. And I love that we're starting here because today also, 4 Sundays from Christmas, is the beginning of a centuries-old Christian tradition called Advent. And you can get those calendars at Trader Joe's. Maybe you're walking through that with your kids already. But Advent, that word just means the arrival of and this waiting for in anticipation of an important person. And we're waiting for who? The coming King. We're waiting for Jesus, the arrival of Jesus. But it's not just about that day. Look up here, all of our campuses. It's about the days. And we can know that we're not waiting for Christmas Day to get here and go, wow, God's good, God's faithful today. I'm ready to get to New Year's, my New Year's resolution. No, we start today saying God is faithful in every season, in every week, in every moment for all of time. God is good and God is faithful. It's about the days. So I want you to pray with me as we get into God's word. I think you'll be challenged as we open up the scriptures in Luke chapter 2 today. I want you to bow your heads, all of our campuses. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this moment. We thank you for this new collection of messages, this new sermon series, A Season of Heavenly Peace. As we walk through Silent Night today, God, would you speak to us? And Holy Spirit, fill us up. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. I thought we would start out with a little bit of a Christmas edition, this or that. And so let's put this first picture up on the screen and maybe you can just yell it out to me. When do you start decorating? Is it before Thanksgiving? Or after Thanksgiving? After Thanksgiving. Okay, I don't know what the campus has said, but this room, for the most part, said after. How about the next one? This or that? Real tree or fake tree? Real tree. Any fake tree people? My people. Just plug and play. Plug and play. We got time for that. We got time for watering trees in my house. Plug and play. How about the next one? Angel topper or star topper? Okay, how many say star? Okay, put your hands down. How many say angel? Okay, a couple woos, but I think the star was the one that moved, that followed the Jesus. No big deal, it's okay. Angels will be in the story later on. How about the next one? Let's get to the next one. This or that. Colored lights or clear lights? A lot of clear, right? A lot of clear. Any colored light people? Yep, okay. Good. Not a colored people and you get colored lights. Let's not make it weird. I'm saying colorful lights. I think he said all the colored people, right? No. Colorful lights, clear lights. Next one. Best Christmas movie. L for Home Alone. Home Alone? If you're over 40, Home Alone? Okay, how about Elf? You guys like Elf? I like Elf. Campuses, Home Alone, anybody? Home Alone. A little bit tired with that one. You just felt kind of age yourself with that Home Alone edition. This is the last one. Here's the next one. I think it's the last one. When do you open gifts? Christmas Eve? You seem confused. People seem like I can't believe they would do that on Christmas Eve. Yes. If you have a Mexican, Hispanic household, that's what happens. We stay up late, absolutely. And how about Christmas morning? Absolutely, Christmas morning. We actually have done a little bit of both. I grew up Christmas Eve, and then a little bit on Christmas morning, and we've kind of adopted that tradition for my kids, and so we make them wait for the big ones on Christmas Day, Christmas morning. Couple on Christmas Eve, just to kind of tease them with it, and you would just wait for Christmas morning, and they got all bent out of shape, and they tell me, Dad, that's gonna be forever. Tomorrow is so far away. And I think my kids feel what the world preaches, that waiting feels like wasting. Why would I wait? I could just go order it right now. It'll be here tomorrow. I got Amazon Prime. Why would I wait? I could just go get it. Why would I wait in this season of my life for them when they already have theirs? Why would I wait for the job? Why would I wait to get the breakthrough? Waiting feels like wasting. Why should I wait quietly through silence? Because I don't like silence. I was trying to think of, what does a silent night feel like? Or what does silence feel like? And I felt like it's kind of empty. Maybe it's kind of cold. Maybe it feels dark to you. Maybe it feels absent or distant. And maybe the things that you say on a silent feeling night are, is anything going on? Is anyone gonna come through for me? Will anyone deliver? It's the pain of waiting, I think, that makes it feel like a silent night. And I think if we're being honest with one another, a lot of people in this time, this season, this month, are going through what feels like a silent night. I'm going through a hard time. I'm going through a transition. I'm going through a moment that just feels like I'm, God, where are you? But if that is you, and you've been waiting through a season that feels like a silent night, I think this Advent time is really encouraging to you, because it's at Advent, in this season, we come to realize that in the silence, while you and I wait, God works. And he's always working. He's always going before you. He's always doing things for you. And just because he seems silent, it doesn't mean he's not there. I'm reminded about the story of this woman who suddenly went blind, and her husband, who loved her dearly, said, oh, that's okay, honey, I'm gonna help you, and I'm gonna help coach you so you can get your way around town. We'll help you ride the bus, and you'll still be able to do your errands and go the places you need to go. And she said, okay. And so he would help her, and they would go the daily route, and they would go on the bus, and he would show her, this is where you stand, and this is where you wait, and there's the gentleman that's on the bus driver, and he's gonna open the door, then you walk in. And he did that for a while, but he had to go back to work. And so after a while, this woman is now on the bus, and she's blind. She's navigating this new routine, this new rhythm. And a few weeks go by, and then the bus driver one day says, hey, man, you must be the luckiest woman in the world. And she looks at him and says, you gotta be kidding me. I just went blind. What are you talking about? He goes, no. Every day you come on the bus, there's a man that stands at a distance in a uniform. And he watches you very carefully until you get on the bus. And when you get on, he blows you a kiss. And then he waves at you until we safely leave. As your husband. That's what God does for you and me. Just because he's silent, it doesn't mean he's not there. In fact, if you really, really pay attention, his apparent or obvious silence or absence is actually, lean in, his divine presence. He's doing something in the time of waiting. I think that's why I love Christmas so much, because it's a reminder that for 400 years, someone shout 400. For 400 years in between the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, and the first book in the New Testament, Matthew, there was a period of silence. It's a period of just waiting. It's called the intertestamental period, where there was no word. In fact, there was a prophecy in Genesis that there'll be a coming king and God will deliver his people and provide a way for them to have their sins forgiven. And then Moses prophesies that there'll be a shepherd, a messenger. And then King David, there'll be an even better king coming. And then Malachi says, yeah, he will be a messenger. But at the end of Malachi, there's a period. And then it's quiet for 400 years. It's silent. The people of God had to wait on the promise of God for a newborn king. And then suddenly God appears. God delivers with Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know what you've been waiting for, but 400 years is a long time. But God comes through in a beautiful way, and the scriptures show us that God's delays aren't always equal with God's denials. Sometimes he just wants you to wait. Maybe it's not no, maybe it's just not yet. And so here's my sermon in a sentence. I wrote this down so I wouldn't mess it up. I wrote this down. If you learn to wait well in the silence, God is faithful to bring you to your suddenly moment. If you learn to wait well in the silence, God is always faithful to bring you to that Jesus is now on the scene moment, that suddenly moment. I want to speak to you from the message title, From Silent to Suddenly. If you got your Bibles with you, would you go with me to Luke chapter 2, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It is the third book in the New Testament, telling the same story that we see all throughout the four Gospels. We'll be in Luke chapter 2, and for all my angel tree topper people, we'll read about the angels today. So Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 2. And it's the announcement of King Jesus. And this is what it says, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Isn't that funny how every time God shows up, he says, "Don't be afraid," because we're always afraid. That's how great God is. He's so good, it's almost terrifying how glorious he is. And the angels say, "Don't be afraid. I'll bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Watch this. Suddenly, we've been waiting a long time for this moment. It's been quiet. I've been waiting. I don't like the silence. I feel like God's distant. Where is he? I've been hearing about the promise, God. I've been showing up to church every week. I've been getting prayed over, but where are you? I just feel I'm in a silent night season. But the scriptures say in verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Shepherds are in the field doing what they normally do on a cold, silent night. Then suddenly their lives change forever. I wanna declare and prophesy over somebody today that there is a suddenly moment on its way for you. I believe that God has a suddenly moment today for someone at church by faith. If you believe that, go ahead and clap your hands. You can thank the Lord. There's a breakthrough. My suddenly moment is a breakthrough. It's a they just got healed kind of moment. It's a suddenly their marriage reconciled kind of moment. I was angry, but all of a sudden, suddenly I'm not angry anymore. I was bitter, but Jesus showed up in my story. I've been waiting, I've been angry, I've been frustrated, but Jesus showed up and suddenly I don't feel anger anymore. It's a breakthrough suddenly moment. I believe God has that for every single person today and in this season. a suddenly moment. That's why I love Christmas. It's the time of the year we can believe that God takes us from silent night to suddenly Jesus is now on the scene. So be encouraged. Don't get lost in the silence and don't be overwhelmed by the waiting period. Your suddenly moment's coming, but don't miss it. Don't miss it. How do you make sure you don't miss your suddenly moment? I want to give you four things. If you're taking notes or you like taking notes, write this down. Number one, I don't want to miss my suddenly moment. How do I do that? I make sure I don't waste the wait. Number one, I don't waste the wait. Isaiah 40, verse 31, I love this. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. What's that? God's saying the purpose of waiting is to grow and to get strong. And so if you've been waiting but you're not growing spiritually, you may be wasting this entire season. We're almost to January, not there yet, but I know you know this, that the month that the gyms are the most full are what month? January. Everyone's trying to get their, you know, their New Year's resolutions, and this year, new me, new body, new fit, you know what I'm saying, all that stuff. And so the gyms are full, but every gym is notorious for the guy that works out for 2 hours, but his body never changes. Every gym has one. Your gym has one, my gym has one. Every gym has that guy. 2 hours of literally wasting the weight. Okay, it's a two-hour workout. The first hour is spent on wasting your time and talking to people. The next 30 minutes is stretching. Then there's a 5-minute set on the weight. And the last 25 minutes is the cool down. That's it. That's the whole 2 hours. Now, he was on the machines like 13 different times, but nothing happened. Well, unfortunately, there are far too many people spiritually wasting their weight. You've been here all year, but your life looks the same. You've been going through the same addiction and the same habits and the same patterns. In San Marcos, there's somebody, this is for you. I hear it all the time. I just keep going through it. I can't get out of the stuff. I'm wasting this waiting season. God gave you this season to bless you and to grow you, but some people refuse to get better. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. You may need to highlight this and circle this. Take a picture of this verse. Hebrews 5 verse 12, it says, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you, say it with me, again, the basic things about God's word. Can you imagine that? God may actually take you through the season of waiting again because you didn't get it right the first time or the second time, and you're looking at this person and that person, you're blaming them, and God's like, listen, you've been around a minute. Like you've been through some stuff. By now, you should have had a suddenly moment. But I've wasted it. I've missed it. Like I wasted the wait. And the difference between my and your silent moment and your suddenly moment may just be the difference between your obedience and faithfulness today. I gotta get it right today. I wanna grow in this season so I don't have to go through another season. Stop wasting the wait. Here's the second thing. I don't wanna miss my suddenly moment. Here's number two. I gotta make peace with the process. I gotta make peace with the process. I don't have to like God's process, but I do need to make peace with it. I don't have to like it. I don't have to be friends with it. I just have to make peace with God's will and his way. Isaiah 55 verse 9 says, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, says the Lord. That's his process, are higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So how many know God's process is his process for a reason? Right? How many have been through something? You don't have to raise your hand, but you went through something and it was devastating. It was a heartbreak. It was the worst thing possible. Only later to be so thankful because God had something better. Can I get a good amen? The breakup, that was just, it was the end of the world. It's terrible. I can't get out of bed. I can't eat. I'm fasting. My heart is jacked. I'm so wrecked. She was the one. Then it wears off eventually. Only to find out that the very next person becomes your spouse. I didn't like God's process, though. God, I could have done it better my way. Or you lost the job and you can't believe it because that's what you went to school for and that's what your student loans are still paying for. You got let go from the job and, oh, I can't believe it. But through that process, God gave you the wisdom for the business. And you became an entrepreneur. And you moved cities. And now you're here in San Diego or wherever you are. And there's where the breakthrough took place. There's where the suddenly moment happened. Why? Because I made peace with God's process. I love 1 Peter 4, verse 12. And in the Message paraphrase translation, it says this. It says, friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. And so if you're in that silent night season of life, you can't assume, you can't just shout at God and say, God, this waiting is wasting. Where are you? You're not listening. No, God has his ways, and most of the time, his ways are just better. I was driving to Thanksgiving this week with Vanessa, and we're pulling up to her aunt's house, and so we're looking for parking, and it's a kind of a narrow street, and she sees one and goes, babe, right there. And I found my spot that was over there. I like my spot better. And I said, no, I don't like that one. I'm gonna go over here. And she said, okay, so here I'm driving because I thought my spot was closer. Well, we get to my spot, it's a driveway. That's why it was open. Okay, all right. Well, here's another one right here. It's a small curb, I can't go there either. So now I'm doing Austin Powers. Pulling over, and I had to go back to the next best spot, which was just back to Vanessa's spot. A lot of times we do that with God. God, I don't like what you're trying to show me here. I want to do it my way. And what do I end up doing? I miss my suddenly moment. And now I'm just prolonging the silent night. Only just to go back to the same place that he showed me way back then. I prolong the wait. I prolong the silence. I don't always know what God's up to or why he does things. I just need to make peace with his process. Turn to your neighbor, tell him his way's better. His way's better. God's way is just better. I don't wanna miss my suddenly moment. And so number one, I'm gonna make sure I don't waste the wait. Number two, I'm gonna make peace with the process. Number three, I'm gonna surrender to God's timing because I don't wanna miss it. Second Peter says, but you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some think he is. No, he's being patient for your sake. It's for you. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but rather wants everyone to repent. Have you ever considered that the reason God's timing is called perfect is because it was meant to protect you? And that if he brought you to the thing that you've been scraping for and trying to hurry to, it would destroy you, it would wreck you. If you gave you the job, you'd burn out and overwhelm you. If he gave you the marriage today, you'd ruin it and compromise the whole relationship. You wouldn't be ready for it. Have you ever considered that? That God's delays aren't his denials, that God's timing is perfect, as his word says, why? Because it's for your sake, so you won't be destroyed. We were, this week I had my men's group, we meet on Monday nights, we had to meet on Tuesday night this week, and we did a Friendsgiving. Fellas did a Friendsgiving, and we had a new guy in the group, and he runs a basketball kind of hangout on Tuesday night. We said, well, let's not miss out, we'll just bring them together, that's fine, we'll do Friendsgiving and basketball. Now, I played basketball in junior high, and that was about it. That was about my career in basketball. But I'm a gamer, I'm out there to have a good time, and I'm with it, I'm trying. So let's go. I got my shoes on and everything, and I came out there and we circled up. I did a little devotional word, and then we broke bread and we played. And I had no idea the team that I was on was trying to be the 24-hour fitness Lakers. I didn't know that. I thought we were all just like in the Legends group, the Masters class. I had some young 20-somethings, some San Diego State athletes on the team. It was 4-on-4, and we played for 30 minutes straight, no breaks. No water, no, I was trying to get a timeout or something. Can we draw a play up? Can we just come together for a minute and do a little prayer? Can we do something? And I was 30 minutes of never stopping. I quit after the first game. And we won. And my team went on to win the little 24-hour fitness Lakers championship, and they won the whole thing, and I was on the sideline like, yes, yes, yes. I went so fast, I burned out. And all God is trying to do with his perfect timing is saying, if you go too fast, you're gonna burn out. You will wreck the family. You will wreck the business. You will mess up the future that God has planned for you if you don't surrender to God's faithful timing. Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, be still. What does it not say? Hurry up and go. It says, be still and know that I am God. Not be in a hurry and you play God. He says, be still. And I've said this a million times, if it's not God's timing, you can't force it. But when it is God's timing, you can't stop it. I don't wanna miss my suddenly moment. Even when I'm in the suddenly night season, I wanna make sure I don't miss it. So number one, I'm not gonna waste the wait. Number two, I'm gonna make peace with the process. Number three, I'm gonna surrender to God's timing. And here's my last point, write this one down. I'm gonna pray for the promise. Because I don't wanna miss it. And so I'm gonna commit to praying for this promise. I'm gonna pray for it and ask Jesus to show up in a suddenly moment for my life. On my behalf. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, always be joyful and never stop praying. Be thankful in the good times. No, in all circumstances. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus. And then 1 John 5:14-15 says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. Not when you ask for anything. When you ask for anything that pleases him, that's aligned with his will, that's in track with God's purpose for your life. And since we know he hears us, when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. And so we ask for the suddenly moment, because I've been waiting, God. I'm gonna pray for the promise. I'm gonna close with this illustration, kind of the history behind the song Silent Night. It's two young men in their 20s, both Catholic priests, getting ready for the Christmas Eve, the year is 1816, midnight mass. And as the story goes, the organ broke in the church. What church? St. Nicholas's church. And this young man is burdened at the fact that there will be no choir tonight because the organ broke. I guess it's gonna be a quiet night. And so what does he do? He gets on his knees and he prays. And he cries out to God and goes, God, I know that tonight is a big deal. It's one of the most important nights of the year. It's Christmas Eve and people are on their way. I don't want it to be quiet. Help me, God, what are we gonna do? The organ is out. And suddenly, God reminds him. He wrote a poem 2 years ago called Still Nacht in German, which means Silent Night, 2 years ago. And he goes and he finds the poem and he grabs it and he runs to his friend who's the choir director who plays guitar because that's all they had. And he begins to play and he goes, hey, can we write some music to Silent Night? And he puts some words to it and put a tune. You can go ahead and play. And he begins to piece what we now know as a song that's been translated in over 100 languages. And for the past 200 years, the world has been singing in a season of waiting about a coming king who suddenly, at the pronouncement of the angels, comes through. I think about that story and I go, man, 2 years in a process, 2 years of wondering what that poem was about. What have you been waiting on God for? 2 years, for 2 months, for 2 weeks? That's the question. That's the challenge. What have you been waiting on God for? And then give it to him. And here's what it sounds like when I say, Lord, I'm gonna give it to you. God, I trust you in the waiting season. I'm gonna give it to you, believing by faith that you hear me And this Christmas and this season, just like you did 2,000 years ago, you can come through for me in a suddenly God moment. Why don't you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for this night, this morning. As we walk through your scriptures in Luke chapter 2, as we wrestle with this idea of wading through the silence. And Lord, we don't want to just arrive at Christmas 24 days from now and go, man, you're so good. No, we want to start today and go, God, I'm waiting, I'm anticipating, I'm believing you for a breakthrough in my life. But I know there's somebody here that's been waiting a long time, God, on a marriage, on a relationship, healing for their family, healing for their body, salvation for their kids, whatever it is, Lord. Together we agree that we're saying, I trust you in the wait. I give it to you. And so, Lord, would you breathe on it today? Would you bless it today? But as everybody's heads are bowed, your eyes are still closed, maybe the greatest breakthrough that can happen while we're together is giving your life to Jesus. That is the greatest suddenly moment, is when I go from this side of eternity to the next. And so if you need to make that decision today because you've been far from God and it hasn't been a silent week or month or year, you've been living a silent life, today your life comes alive in a brand new way. I want you to invite Jesus in your heart, and you can repeat these words after me. If that's you, just say this. God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I know that I've fallen short of your glory, but I believe that you love me, and I believe that you have the power to forgive my sin. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I confess you as ruler over all things. I love you and thank you. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed across all of our locations, if you made that decision today for whatever reason, but you said yes to Jesus, and that suddenly moment just happened for you, on the count of three, I'd love for you to lift your hand up nice and high so I can see you and so your campuses can pray for you. On the count of three, lift your hand up nice and high. One, two, three. Hands up. You prayed that prayer. Awesome. God bless you. 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 Amen. You can put them down. Lord Jesus, thank you for every single soul, every single person, every single story that's represented today. God, we surrender our lives. We surrender the weight to you, believing that our suddenly moment is on its way. I prophesy that and declare it by faith that, Lord, you're coming. You're here. You are Emmanuel, a God with us. We don't want to miss it. Help us to see you in this season. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said together, amen. 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 Let's worship the Lord. Give me your praise. Clap your hands. Hallelujah.